It's a privilege to be able to present a portion of the Word of God. As Chris mentioned this morning, he and I had a good time coming up with this series. And with its conclusion this evening and today, we'll be looking to preach different sermons next year, hopefully as that will be beneficial to the growth of the members here at the North Jefferson Church of Christ. If there is a subject, topic, book of the Bible, word study, or anything along those lines that you would be interested in knowing more about, please let Chris or I know. We're wanting to develop things that will be good for classes as well as for sermons. Tonight's sermon is entitled Investing in the Local Congregation. Investing in the Local Congregation. You know, a lot of times when dealing with people in the financial world, when they tell you to invest funds, they'll tell you to diversify your portfolio, meaning don't just put everything into one stock. Now, there was a man in Nashville, Arkansas, Daniel may know who it was, I wasn't familiar, that had a lot of stock in Enron back around 2001 or 2000 or so, and he was retired. That was his retirement fund. And Enron, I'd say fell, but that's an understatement. It crashed. And he had to go out and find work again. When we diversify our portfolios, if you were to do something along those lines, you could go into mutual funds, you could go into stocks and bonds and different types of things, so that if something happens with your mutual fund, if something happens with your stocks or something like that, the others will be able to carry some, so there's not so much of a skyfall. I had stocks up until about 5 years ago, when I sold all of them to get Lisa's engagement ring. And it is shiny, and she was pleased with it. So thank you, Robbins Brothers. When we consider investing in the local congregation this year, investing in the North Jefferson Church of Christ, there are different areas that we're going to be able to invest in. So it's going to be diversifying your spiritual portfolio. First, what we're going to look at is we can invest in the treasury fund. If you'll turn with me over to Luke chapter 16 and verse 9. Luke 16 verse 9 is probably one of the most misunderstood verses in the entire Bible. What we find is Jesus says, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. When we look at a modern vernacular for this, it doesn't seem to jive with what the rest of the New Testament teaches. And whenever we find something that doesn't fit the New Testament pattern, we're studying it wrong. Because God isn't going to put Himself in debate with Himself. That's not the nature of God. We have a harmonious New Testament. What we can find, if we would sum up this verse, would be show mercy to the poor. Use your money as a benefit while you're still on earth, and some can come to Jesus because of it. You know, we have an opportunity every week to give as we have been prospered. Some use the mentality that I'll give what is left over. That isn't the mindset we should have pertaining to giving for the Lord. We give what we've been prospered first. And if we have to cut back on some entertainment, if we have to cut back on some fun, that's what we cut back on, not cutting back on God. There are many good works that the congregation here is associated with. The funds that you give are able to help people all over the world. Personally, we can all look to people that are around us that could use some aid of any type. And using that as a benefit, being a good Samaritan, being a good steward of funds instead of good Samaritan, being a good steward of funds is a good way to open a door for those who are hurting, to be able to share with them something worth so much more than money, that being the gospel. We look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2. What we find on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. We're to give gladly, as Daniel put in the prayer for the contribution. So we can invest in the treasury fund. When we are give of the means that we have, no matter how much that may be, we can be a benefit of getting to know people and finding opportunities to share the gospel and helping people in their quest to share the gospel in places that we may not be. We look at our next point. We can invest in the mutual fund. We can invest in the mutual fund. I like the word mutual. When we look at this point, we can find how we can deal with one another, how we can lift one another up. We look over to Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, and what Paul wrote, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another." When we look over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, Paul again writes, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing." Chris made an excellent point in our opening prayer. We've had some that have had very rough years in 2014. On Facebook right now, they have the 2014 was a great year, and has all these different pictures throughout the year. And I was reading an article on a man that it hurt his feelings. He had lost his daughter this year. And Facebook was like, "You want to share this? You've had a great 2014. And it was a picture that they superimposed the face of his daughter, who passed away surrounded by other people like it was a party. You know, 2014 may not have been a great year for everybody. But we go through the trials of life. We have curveballs thrown at us on a regular basis. That's where the family aspect, the familial aspect of the congregation is. We lift one another up. When difficult times come, we rally around each other. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, we see about comforting each other, edifying one another. And then he says, just as you are doing. The church in Thessalonica was doing a good job of uplifting the brethren. We look to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." We had a lesson, Chris did, on hospitality. And it would have been a bad mindset for someone to go, "Oh man, preacher's gone from preaching to meddling. Guess we better have somebody come over. Ugh. Which one of these people do we want to invite over? Don't like any of them." So it shouldn't be a begrudging attitude. We should be excited to be able to share what we have with those who are around us. We look over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Let's pick what we say carefully. And I'm stomping all over my toes. I should have worn my steel-toed boots. I like to talk. And upon reflection, is everything that we're saying beneficial for people to hear? In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17, if you'll turn back with me to the Old Testament. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." As we grow individually, we can work with one another, and we can have that synergy. I love the concept of synergy. One horse has one horsepower. So you'd think mathematically two horses have two horsepower. No, when those horses work together, it's more than two horsepower. We consider our Christian walk, while I may be able to do some things on my own, I can do so much more with help from my brothers and sisters in Christ. And we should all feel that way. We should all look for opportunities to work with each other so that we can grow strongward, grow upward and onward. It's the difference between couples who just live together and those who get married. While becoming a Christian means to commit yourself to Christ, becoming a church member means to commit yourself to other Christians. It's a commitment to a specific group of believers to practice the one another's of the New Testament. People can take on Christ in baptism and be no more part of the congregation than a stranger on the street. If we want to reap the full benefits of being a Christian, we need to invest in this mutual fund, working together, working with one another. You commit yourself to Christ for salvation, and then you commit yourself to other Christians for membership in our church family. We are members of the North Jefferson congregation under the oversight of three hardworking elders. I told Chris this morning, this lesson that he did, if I had to rank the sermons I had the opportunity to listen to this morning, was one of the top five sermons of 2014. He hit the nail on the head. Our elders deserve respect, and it's a good work that elders do. So when we commit ourselves to God, let's commit ourselves to the work of the Lord's church. It should go hand in hand. It should work together. Over 50 times in the New Testament, the phrase one another or each other is used. We're commanded to love each other, pray for each other, encourage each other, admonish each other, greet one another, serve each other, teach each other, accept each other, honor each other, bear one another's burdens, forgive each other, sing to each other, submit to each other, and be devoted to each other. It's not a choice. And you can't be one of those people that after, or some cases, before the closing song, sprinting out to the parking lot and then turn around and say, those people aren't friendly in there. Now, I used to play football, and if I've got to sprint through the foyer and tackle you at the ankles to get to talk to you, that's not real fair. And it's also not very fair. I mean, Chris and I are cool dudes. I think we're in agreement. Amen. Absolutely. We are cool guys. But we can only talk to so many people at one time. Hopefully people don't get their feelings hurt. The preacher didn't talk to me. Whew. Chris, we'd have a pretty tough time meeting that standard, wouldn't we? Anybody would have a tough time meeting that standard. When we look at this mutual fund, we can protect church unity by acting in love toward other members, by refusing to gossip, and by following our eldership. It's so funny, Chris and I work on our sermons, especially this week. We were apart. He was in South Texas, I was here, and I loved what he said about refusing to gossip. You know, someone will say, you know, I heard this about so-and-so, but when you say, hey, how about we give him a call right now? How about we set up a meeting? No, it's okay. Kind of give some ice to the burn there. We consider that some people just want to talk. We need to be a people of action. If it's a serious allegation, it needs to be taken seriously. It could be the difference in someone going to heaven or going to hell. We can protect church unity by loving each other and being respectful to the shepherds of our congregation. We look to Romans chapter 14 and verse 19. Romans 14 and verse 19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify one another. I see that my wife's not in here anymore, so I can talk about her. We've been married for 5 years, been the best 5 years of my life. I don't want to hear what her response would be. But we know how to push each other's buttons. If we wanted to make each other miserable, we could do a fantastic job of doing it. We know what sets the other person off. I'm sure anyone in here who's been married this evening could pick a fight and really have a big fight if they wanted to. We've got a dating couple over here, Sam and Lauren. I'm sure y'all could push each other's buttons and cause for a great big fight. And Sam's calling, yeah, I don't know what happened. I just don't know. Like, you picked a fight, bro. You shouldn't have done that. Walk it off. But we consider, if we know what is negative, we can also know what's positive. Now, I loved being a football coach. I loved the game of football. A lot of people think it's just a big bunch of jerks that hit each other and all this. There's really not much to it. There's a science to football. There's physics to football. There's strategy in football. And one of the things that I learned as a football coach was you have to talk to players differently. You know, there are some coaches that want to yell at everybody. It doesn't work. Some people need to be yelled at, and that gets them motivated. Others, it makes them play worse. You have to pull them to the side calmly. Hey, if you're going to run this play properly, you need to make this block. You need to move here. You need to change your stance. You need to do this. And break it down for them. Okay, I got it. We're not one single member here at North Jefferson. There shouldn't be one way that we edify each other. Let's get to know each other, understand how each other works, so that we can effectively edify those who are around us. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. What I would like to see in 2015 here at the North Jefferson Church of Christ is I would like to see triple, quadruple the amount of people that come forward after a sermon. Unfortunately, we have a mindset of it shows weakness to ask for help. I would like for our church family to know that when you're struggling, get those prayers. If you need edification, get that edification. There is no shame in doing that. If you feel that you're lax in an area, if you're hurting, if you're struggling, let us help you. Again, Chris and I are cool dudes. If I keep saying that, they'll believe it. But I'm not a mind reader. Our elders aren't mind readers. Our deacons aren't mind readers. I don't think anybody in here is a mind reader. Share your burdens. Share your struggles. Do whatever it takes to get right with God. I would love to see more people take the opportunity to come forward, to get those prayers, to seek that help, and to show they're taking their Christianity seriously. You know, we need to invest in that mutual fund. It's not always being the cheerleader. Sometimes it's being cheered. Don't let pride get in the way of getting the help and edification that you need. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. We've already referenced that. But let's use words that'll be a benefit to those who are around us. In Hebrews 13, 17. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. If the elders see something in you that you can work on, listen to them. They want what's best for you. They want what's best for you. And if you fly off the handle, get red-faced, angry, and start yelling or cussing or something like that, the next time they see something that needs to be worked on, it's going to be a little bit, it's going to be awkward. We've got good men that'll do it anyway, but don't make this job harder than it has to be. Don't make our elders regret the office of being an elder. Don't make them regret this good work. So, if the elders say, this is a project we're getting involved in, get involved in it. They say, we're having a gospel meeting, we would like for you to attend. Attend if you can. Do your best to be here. As Chris said in his sermon this morning, they're going to take account for our souls. If they're shepherding the flock, they're going to have to stand before God. And if we have opportunities to come together outside of the worship services, and they say this will be for your benefit, if you can make it, you had better be there. It is for your good. We're all busy. We've got Bible Bowl next Monday night. You don't think that there's something that any of us could find to do instead of that? Let me tell you, it's a fantastic work. It's a fantastic work. We've got our kids that know Galatians and Ephesians front and back. We've had years building on this. Come out and support it. I'm going to go ahead and give a shout out. I don't like to do this because it hurts somebody's feelings. But let me tell you, it doesn't matter what we have going on. Betty Abbey's there. Nursing home at the Villas. This morning in the announcements, hey, be there if you can. Outside of me and Chris and Perry and And Vicky and Kamisha, was Betty Abbey. No one else showed up. You know, when Vince was born, I'm walking out to go get lunch. Guess who's standing there? Betty Abbey. Chris was up there too. We've done all kinds of stuff. Bible Bowl. You look through my Bible Bowl pictures, guess who you're going to see sitting there? Betty Abbey. Let's use that. That's a good example to have. If there is an opportunity to edify someone, if there's an opportunity to lift someone up, let's take it if we can. Invest in this mutual fund. We can't sit back and say, oh man, you know, people just don't like me. You know, people don't go out of their way for me. Put yourself out there too. Get some black balloons and throw yourself a pity party until 2015, and let's get started and let's work on building each other up. So let's grow. Let's invest in this mutual fund. If you can possibly be somewhere, be there. It really shows spiritual immaturity of when we have something that can edify someone, something that the elders have said, this is important. Well, I worked all day. I was at work. Tough beans. Daniel Cochran works real hard. He's up at 4 in the morning. He gets home. I don't even think he goes home on Bible Bowl nights, and he's here to help. Let's quit making excuses, brethren. Let's invest in this mutual fund. Let's let 2015 be the year that we're more involved than we have ever been. I'm getting little goosebumps on my neck. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to 2015. We're going to have a great year. We can invest in His growth fund. You know, we can look inwardly and outwardly at the growth fund. Let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. We have a responsibility to study our Bibles. If we want to grow in our relationship with God, that takes studying. God's not going to whisper in our ear. The Holy Spirit's not going to tug on our sleeves. The Holy Spirit's not going to illuminate the Scriptures. Be awesome if He did. Chris and I could do a lot of other stuff instead of having to study because the Holy Spirit would make it known. That's not how the Holy Spirit operates. If we want to grow in our relationship with God, we've got to get to know God. And the way that we get to know God is through His Word. We're going to have to put that effort in to grow. God wants us, but we've got to draw near to Him. We look over to Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 11 and 12. I've got verse 11 up there, but we'll just continue reading on to verse 12. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Chris and I have a mutual friend, Jack, is it Wilkie, Chris? Wilkie, good. Got it on the first try. And he said that he's wanting to put together a series of struggles when it comes to attitudes that some brethren have. And I put two down that I've encountered firsthand. One of them was, I did that years ago. It's someone else's turn. You know, I used to do that. Someone else can do it now. It's like, man, show me that scripture where we reach a retirement age in the church. We don't have to serve anymore. No more serving for me. I put in my years ago. We need workers of all ages. Just as much as we need Cade and Michaels, we need Perry Cothams, live to be 102. We need people of every age, because guess who's out in that community? People of every age. When we look about becoming sluggish, we've got to focus on staying strong. The other point that I made to him is, we did that a couple years ago and it didn't work. I worked for Brown Trail, and I would go out and tell people about the school, tell people about door-knocking campaigns. And one of the congregations I went to, I said, hey, we can set up a door-knocking campaign. Our guys can come in. They can work with the members. We could canvass your whole town and probably the town next to it. Really push a gospel meeting. Give the congregation a shot in the arm of excitement. Give the guys in the preaching school an opportunity to serve. And the response was, we did one of those about 10 years ago. Nobody showed up. Like, wow, I didn't know people. Nobody moved in or moved out. It's a terrible attitude. You know, we did an activity like that years ago, and nobody showed up. I did something a while back, and the person didn't even attend services, so I'm done. We got to get that stinking thinking out. We need to let the past be in the past, and we need to look to the future, serving the best way we can, investing in that growth fund. We look to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15. 1 Timothy 4:15, Paul is writing to young Timothy, and he's telling him about the things that he is to do. He is to meditate on these things. Give yourselves entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. That your progress may be evident to all. We got a new baby. Baby Vince. Beautiful baby. He's a boy and he kind of looks like me. But right now, all he drinks is milk. He's going to grow a little bit. But then we're going to start having him eat cereal. Not Cheerios. Little rice things. I don't know why they call it cereal. It looks terrible. Well, have cereal. And then he's going to grow to the baby food. The yogurts and the little toddler things that you find. And he's going to grow and grow. And he's going to start eating real food. And being able to chew up steaks and hamburgers. And going to be able to do those types of things. And we're going to see him grow from a wee little baby, like he is right now, to in a few years, odds are we're going to see a very tall little boy. He just measured in the 99 percentile for height. Addie's still around the 95, 98 percentile for height. If we were to only give him milk now, and in a month, 6 months, 8 months, 18 months, 24 months, 48 months, how do you think he's going to look? He's going to be malnourished. He's going to be sick, and there's a good chance that CPS would take him away from us, and rightfully so. But if we look at the spiritual side of things, there are people that don't invest in their growth fund. They obeyed the gospel, and to this day, they're still on the milk. Yet we've got some young men here that love to study the Word of God. And I wonder if there's a chance that we could have a 14 and a 16-year-old who are more spiritually mature than some of our members that could be in their 60s or 70s. I don't know that for a fact, but it's worth pondering, isn't it? It's worth thinking about. Only you can look in the mirror and find where your passion lies. Are you investing as you once did, or if you ever did, are you still trying to continually grow in Christ? Meditate on these things, is what Paul wrote. Not glance, not lackadaisically look. Meditate on these things. Paul hit the nail on the head. This is fantastic verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 through 7. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. You know, like me, like Chris, don't like me, don't like Chris, Doesn't matter. If we're getting in the pulpit sharing the truth, if our elders are getting up and preaching and teaching the truth, you better love them for it. We've got to love the truth, but only you can examine yourself. Are you investing in that growth fund? The last scripture of this point, Romans chapter 12, verses 5, or Romans chapter, put chapter 5 through 7, and I've got chapter 12, verse 1 here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. A living sacrifice. We are giving the best that we have to God. Not, you know, make God your third, fourth priority. You know, not come on the weekends, come on Wednesday, you know, serve that way. We're to be a living sacrifice. Invest in the growth fund. Make 2015 the year that you grow the most in the Lord. We can invest in the equity fund. In the equity fund. Well, we look to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of ministering to the saints. In the Bible, there was a church in Greece that did this. They heard about another church that was in trouble and going through a famine, so they gave some money. And the Bible said, this. They were willing to help. They were willing to aid. When we consider Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 24, there is one who scatters yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. I know next to nothing about gardening. And Chris has got not only one green thumb, but he's got two green thumbs. And if we were to go to the store, wherever he wants to go, because I don't know who has the best seeds, and we were to pick up a package of pumpkin seeds, or celery, or whatever you grow, and I just kept them in their package, and you went out and you sowed your seeds. You put them in your garden. He's going to have some ripe watermelons. And if I left my watermelon seeds out on the in the package sitting on my counter, I better hope a famine doesn't come, because Chris is going to be living large with some watermelons, and I'm going to be wishing that I had sown the seed. When we look to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Galatians 5:13, for you brethren have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Through love serve one another. In James chapter 2 and verse 16, and one of them says to them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, but you not give them the things which they are needed for the body, what does it profit? What does it profit? I love that we have a pantry here, because people are able to say, you know, we're hungry. We're able to give them food and tracts. Try to set up Bible studies. We need to be a people who are ready to use what we have to share with those in need. Those who need the gospel, or those who are struggling. If all of a sudden Mount Vernon, forbid that this happens, but if something happened to the Mount Vernon building and they needed help, I have no doubt that we would be there to help them. We would be there in this time of struggle so that we could work with them. In Exodus chapter 36 and verse 2, and this really gets to the heart of this point about investing into service equity fund. We look in Exodus 36 and verse 2, and then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, and then and every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and to do the work. You know, I'm no Moses by any means, but let's make 2015 a year of service. Let's let the lessons that Chris and I have prepared, that Daniel has done, that the boys preached, Let these lessons stir us up to good. If we take 2015 and make it look just like 2014 did, and just like 2013, and just like 2012, we're stagnant. We're never going to grow. We see in Exodus 36, in response to Moses' request, the people gave abundantly more than what was needed. They searched in themselves. They found what they were good at. They worked at it, and they did what Moses needed them to do. Find what you can do, and do it. In Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 10, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as noonday. Pick this scripture for a reason to close out this point. The world is dark. The world is dark out there. We can be that light. Let's invest in the Service Equity Fund. So I'm going to give you a challenge for 2015. It's up to you if you take it. If I haven't stirred up your heart, I'm sorry. I'm doing my best. If the Word of God doesn't stir up your heart, when you study, that's a heart problem on you. This is my challenge for 2015. Diversify your spiritual portfolio. Give in all these different ways. Say this. Don't really repeat it. Just say this to yourself when we start 2015. I will share the responsibility of my congregation by praying for its growth, inviting people to services, and warmly welcoming those who visit. I will serve the ministry of my congregation by discovering talents and developing a servant's heart, by being equipped to serve under the oversight of our elders. I will support my congregation by attending faithfully, by living a godly life, and by giving regularly. We have people here at North Jefferson that are workers. And this sermon was in no way meant to make someone feel bad that's giving their best, that is already working. Let's continue to grow. Let's continue to push forward. Let's not let 2014 be the peak of what we're doing. Let's grow onward and upward. Make 2015 the best year that we can. Let's take this challenge. So the conclusion of the lesson: diversify your spiritual portfolio. Be able to invest in the growth fund. Be able to invest in the mutual fund. Invest in the Service Equality Fund. Invest in the Treasury Fund. You wouldn't put all your money into one set of stocks because it could fail. We look at Wall Street. They diversify their portfolios. Let's not focus on one thing and put our all into it. And if it ends up where we fall short, we go, well, we're big failures. We're not going to do anything. Let's try to do all of these. Let's try to invest in all of these different things. Investing in our spiritual portfolio. Ready to commit to the congregation. If you have spiritual needs, as I said before, there's no shame in that. You want to get 2015 started off right? You want prayers for strength? Are you struggling with something? Come forward. Don't be shy. Don't be bashful. If you need help, get that help. If you're not a Christian, I encourage you to become one this evening. God has done His part. He sent His Son. Jesus shed His blood and the Spirit revealed the Word. Everything else is up to us. To hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and then to remain faithful, growing every year, every month, hopefully every day. If you haven't been obedient to the gospel, be obedient to the gospel. If you're struggling, if you need prayers, do whatever it takes to get right with God so that we can have the best 2015, the best year of our spirituality that we can possibly have, doing service for the Lord as we stand and as we sing.